common at dad's point of view. That's right, B Sal, he knows what's cool. He's now got his own radio show and a Twitter too.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show at Dad's Point of View. Once again, thank you, Arnold Salen, for doing my theme song and that rap song in my honor, I think. You can follow me at Twitter, at Bruce Salen. You can write to me at bruce@brucesalen.com. It's time for some spiritual talk with Pastor Drew Sams, who's a teaching pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California. He and his wife, Erica, live in Newberry Park, California, which is right next to Westlake Village, and they are the proud parents of a soon-to-be two-year-old son, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on again.
I love having you on, and first and foremost, I need to know, how is Judah doing, who's about to turn two?
Boy, can you believe it? Almost two, and as I said last week, going on 21, it feels like. He's still, every time we get in the car, he says, I drive.
Did you get on the steering wheel thing yet? Did you get him that steering wheel thing yet?
Not yet. We, you know, I actually found some online, so we're thinking about getting it for him.
For
his birthday. Yeah, it's perfect. I appreciate that he wants to drive rather than tells me how to drive, though. Different backseat driver.
You've got your wife for that.
Yes, yes. She can do that from the front seat.
Well, I look forward to hearing about the birthday party. So there's so much going on. I want to talk about being cool. I want to talk about, is God cool? Is Noah cool? But I'm also curious, is having religious freedom cool? Is the Hobby Lobby cool? And what you think about what we talked in the previous segment about what's going on in the Supreme Court and about Obamacare dictating certain mandates to religious organizations. And I think in many ways it's horrible what they're doing to the Catholic Church. I know you're not Catholic, but I'd love any thoughts you have on the general issue.
Boy, a lot of topics we can cover there in a little amount of time. But, you know, it's so interesting. This is just one of the most recent topics that we see this, you know, overlap between the government and religious liberties. And we've had many before this. This is today's topic, and there'll be many more after this. And boy, what a complicated issue it is. People on both sides, you know, yell and hate at each other. And I think that the more we attack religious liberties, I think the more alienated that segment of the population will be. And, you know, it's interesting. When you look around the world, it seems like, and boy, we definitely see this with the Jewish people, the more that they're oppressed and the more that they're marginalized, the more they thrive, actually. And it seems like that it's almost counterintuitive that the more people get marginalized, it's like, you're either in or you're out. There's no more cultural religious person, cultural Christian, cultural Jew, because, you know, it's almost like there's no reason in pop culture, in the public sphere, to say, oh yeah, I'm a religious person. The more and more it gets marginalized, and so in some ways, those that really hold true to those values, that I think they thrive because they have to hold on to it even tighter.
Try being a moderately religious conservative Jew in Hollywood, Pastor Drew. That was me.
Yeah. How did you do it?
Well, there was one group. There was one group out of all the hundreds of different kinds of groups that was somewhat politically conservative, and I became a part of that group. And I just chose to be quiet about my views, and I chose to implement my beliefs in what I made and what I influenced. So when I ran movies at ABC, for instance, I had a lot of power. There were only three networks really running anything in those days. And there was a big popular theme at the time, which was, I called it Murder of the Week. They made all these TV movies about just exploiting the sensationalistic murder stories. And this isn't a big values thing. I just thought it was not good for the human condition, so I didn't make any of those movies. And I wrote a pretty powerful editorial that got published in Hollywood Reporter decrying the decline of the movie in that form. So I brought my values to my work, and we were able to undo that trend in TV movies. But mostly I kept my mouth shut. It wasn't worth the aggravation. So, and then finally I left Hollywood, and I don't miss that scene at all. And I'm leaving California, as you know, because of the same sort of thing. I think there's an oppression of ideas. There's a one-track way of thinking in California. Plus there's a government in horrible decline. And I'm just choosing to leave.
Yeah. But you're holding on to what you do believe.
Oh, of course. I'm not changing my beliefs. Yeah. If anything, they're more solid as I get older.
Yeah, see, I think that's what we're going to see is people kind of, as they get more and more marginalized in the public sphere, those that are on the margins, even within the religious groups, will kind of say, you know what, it's not worth it to me. I don't believe in it that much. I'll just kind of stick with, you know, the tide of pop culture. And those that remain in those religious groups, I think, hold on to it even tighter. So
I think that's a very interesting observation. I think it's true. And so there's a good that comes out of some of that marginalization, which is what you're saying. Let's talk about being cool. Very quickly, do you have any thoughts about Noah? And you think that's going to be cool or not cool or anti-God or pro-God? I mean, the filmmaker seems to be proud of the fact that God's never mentioned. Hello?
Well, and it's so interesting because it seems like, as I've read articles online in magazines, it seems like the atheist and this, you know, the director there, just like you said, is bragging about its least biblical biblical movie there's ever been done, and brags that there's no mention of God in it. But yet I've even read articles of Christians who are part of the distribution companies in the US that are bragging about how great that we have a biblical film getting so much traction. And so it seems like everybody's trying to use it to kind of promote their own brand of cool, whatever it is. And I think we do that all the time. It's whatever we want to use to kind of elevate ourselves, we'll do it, and we'll kind of focus on certain aspects of it. So here you've got one side saying, well, it's not biblical at all, and the other side saying, look at how great this biblical film is. Very interesting.
Well, I'm actually curious to see it. It certainly looks like a great spectacle at the very least. I just hope I don't cringe at some of its avoidance of just basic God and biblical issues, but we'll see. Let's talk about cool. You were the youth minister for a long time. How strong, how big a deal was it in your view that kids worked to be cool? And were they doing a lot of things against their heart and values to be cool?
I think it doesn't even fit in a category of how important it was. It was like the driving force among youth culture. And boy, in all those years that I spent, over 8 years working with high school kids, and still do, you know, I speak at camps and I'm on high school campuses still speaking in different high schools. It is, it hasn't changed, I really think, in the last 50 years and even beyond that, where there's just in that transition from childhood to adulthood and that adolescence age, trying to figure out who you are. Trying to be cool is the phrase, and we use different words for that. But I love how you said it seems like cool has kind of stood the test of time, that phrase. I feel like we're all trying to make our place, to make our mark. And, you know, especially with social media really kind of taking shape in the last 10 years, boy, now it's cool to an international degree because you've got your profile that you've got friends all around the world looking at, and you've got to kind of compete with everybody else's amount of likes and shares and such. So it's really a complicated thing.
For sure. Where have you witnessed attempts to being cool to be destructive?
To be disruptive or destructive?
No, destructive.
Almost on a daily basis. I think there was a sense of, in working with high school kids, there was a sense of almost, especially among guys, trying to outdo one another in terms of reckless behavior. Not only driving. I remember kids getting their license, and this one kid went 100 miles an hour down the street in front of his high school. It's a 25-mile-an-hour zone.
Oh.
And it was this long straightaway. Got up to 100 just so he could say to his friends he got up to 100. And they took a photo of it, you know, with the thing at 100. And he had just gotten his license, just began driving. And he couldn't slow down in time to then make the 90-degree turn at the end of that block. They guessed probably at about slowing down to about 40. So at least he got down, much lower than 100 miles an hour, got down to about 40 and just couldn't make the turn and slid it, into the side fence and the trees and such. And he walked away, thankfully, But that was just one of many things where I saw, especially guys trying to outdo one another.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're out of time, but the irony is women, young girls attempt suicide more, but boys succeed more for exactly that reason, that they're a little more extreme in how they do things. Pastor Drew, where are you currently not blogging?
Not blogging at drewsams.com, though. I got to get that back going for a couple reasons that I'll share with you next week. And I'm on all social networks at Surfer Drew.
All right, just to be clear, everyone, Surfer Drew, Pastor Drew, he, to me, is the definition of cool.
I love it, Bruce. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Pastor Drew. Stay tuned for some therapy talk with Dr. Jennifer Weberman after these messages.
That's right, B-Sal. He knows what's cool. He's now got his own radio show and a Twitter, too. Hashtag Dadchick. Check that bit out, fool. Instagram and Facebook, dude. Yo, B-Sal. He's one.